Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I'm George Lizos, spiritual teacher, psychic healer, and number one best-selling author. It wasn't long ago that I was stuck in a soul-draining job, held back by fears and limiting beliefs that stopped me from following my purpose and making a positive impact in the world. Fast forward past many hours of inner work and lessons learned, I now write books and teach courses to help you find and follow your purpose too. I created the Lit Up Lightworker podcast to empower you with simple, actionable, step-by-step spiritual tools and practices to overcome what holds you back and light up the world. If you're a spiritual seeker yearning for a more soulful and purposeful life, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Lightworker, welcome to another episode of the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. Before we get started with today's episode, let me remind you that my new book, Protect Your Light, a practical guide to energy protection, cleansing, and cutting cords, is now available to order globally on Amazon. In the book, you'll learn powerful practices to cleanse, shield, and strengthen your energy. Specifically, you'll get to cut cords to toxic relationships, remove psychic daggers of attack and other negative energy attachments, and even learn how to effectively protect your energy online. When you order the book, you also get the Psychic Scanning online workshop for free, during which I'll guide you to turn on your psychic vision and scan your body for all types of energy attack so you can clear them. And you can visit protectyourlightbook.com to get all the details. Also, be sure to download one of my free guides in the description of this episode that will guide your spiritual journey. You'll find guides on finding your purpose, developing your intuition, and protecting your energy. Lastly, if you enjoy the podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review. That's going to be so helpful to let others discover it too. In today's episode, we're talking about the new age and therefore how to create your own personalized path to Source, God, the Creator. You know, my spiritual beliefs and practices have changed dramatically over the years. Growing up Orthodox Christian, I spent my childhood obsessing over Christianity. I attended Sunday service religiously, I memorized Bible verses, I went to Christian camp every single summer. And in a school test on religious knowledge, which was practically Christianity, I got 105 out of 100 because the teacher said I was such a star student, I participated in everything, I knew everything, so he gave me 105. But my path took an unexpected turn when I felt shamed and rejected by the Christian church after realizing that I was gay at the age of 15 years old. And it was then that I gave myself permission to explore my spirituality and find a new path. My exploration took me on a wild ride. Signing up for a bachelor's and master's degrees in metaphysical sciences, I explored different religions and spiritual traditions. I practiced witchcraft for a while, I got into Buddhism for a couple of years, and eventually I ended up creating my own blend of a religion that's commonly known as being a New Ager. 5 years ago, my spiritual journey led me down a path of rekindling my connection to my ancestral religion, and therefore I became a priest to Hellenic polytheism, also known as Greek paganism. And what my 15 plus year exploration in religion and spirituality has helped me to realize is that there is no one path to Source. We're all unique individuals who require an equally unique and personalized path to the Creator. So in this episode of the Lit Up Lightworker podcast, I chat to New Age hipster Vix Maxwell about the new age and what it means to find your personalized connection to the divine. Specifically, in the episode you learn what is the new age, the difference between cultural appropriation and appreciation, ways of using oracle and tarot cards in your personalized practice, how to deal with judgment in the spiritual community, and how to accept your changing spiritual beliefs. When you're done listening to the episode, make sure to come within your Spiritual Toolkit Facebook group and let us know how you enjoyed it. Enjoy this episode with Vix Maxwell. Vix Maxwell is a creator of New Age Hipster, a spiritual home for good witches, lightworkers, starseeds, and spiritual seekers. A priestess for present times, modern mystic and spiritual teacher in Converse sneakers, Vix supports her worldwide community in reconnecting to their own light, inner guidance, and power through soul readings, courses, online spiritual development circles, spiritual business coven, podcast, blog, and social media channels. Vix is a best-selling young adult fiction author of the Santolsa Saga series, author of Witch Please, published by HarperCollins, and The Angels Among Us Oracle, published by Rockbull Publishing. Vix, welcome back to the Lit Up Lightworker podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be back and doing this again. This is so cool.
I am so excited to have you here. I was just telling Vix before we started, Vix is episode number one of the podcast. This podcast essentially started with doing Instagram lives that I later kept and I saved. And eventually I launched the podcast where I published those Instagram lives into a podcast episode, and Vix was number one. So I thought I would bring her back after 100 and something episodes to catch up, to reconnect a little bit and catch up on the topics we started talking about, which is something I'm very passionate about and Vix is very passionate about as well. So I am so excited to get started, Vix. So you, since we last chatted like on the podcast, you have multiple products out. You have your young adult books out, the whole trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have your Angels Among Us Oracle cards, and you have Witch Please. Can you please share a little bit around the intention behind those products and how they fit in within your work as a New Ager, essentially?
Oh gosh, that's like a really big question. it's so interesting. Like, I think last time we spoke, I don't even think the book had come out.
No, nothing had come out.
Yeah, when we had that last conversation, I think I'd been working on the Santalsa saga, the fiction stuff.
Yes.
And I think I had one or maybe two of the books out. But yeah, it's really fun to like come back and have these conversations and be like, oh, wow, look at all the things that have happened since
this
moment. Because like, I think so often we just kind of move forward and we think, oh, I haven't done anything and nothing's happening. And then it's like, if you just stop for a minute and reconnect with George on his podcast, it's like, oh, wow, actually, all these cool things have happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in terms of like the intention, that's such a beautiful question and something that's probably really difficult to answer in just, you know, however long we've got here to talk today. But I think, you know, the intention really for everything that I've done, whether it's the fiction work or the oracle or the book or like any of my courses and everything, my intention is really just to help people to kind of find themselves and to reconnect with themselves. Because I think we know what it's like. It's so noisy in this world and it's just getting noisier. Like, you know, last time we spoke, I certainly wasn't on TikTok and now it's like everyone's on TikTok.
Yes.
Everyone's on social media and it's like, it's just blowing up and it seems to get like bigger and bigger every day. And, you know, there's more and more people who are kind of trying to get our attention. And not just that, but in the, you know, in the spiritual community, like witch talk and witches of Instagram and everything, there's so many people on there who are sharing their experiences, which I think is a really beautiful, wonderful thing, especially as, you know, we've been persecuted for so long. It's like amazing that now you can just go on this platform and be like, here's a spell for this thing, which is really great. But at the same time, there are so many people out there that are kind of giving you information that it can sometimes feel like, you know, oh, but what is like, what's really my path and what do I really believe in and how can I kind of work it out for myself rather than just absorb everything that everybody's saying to you. So the intention very much with the Witch Please book is it's not a, you know, it's not another witchy book that's like, here's all the spells, here's all the things that you have to do. If you follow this formula, you will find love. Or if you do this correctly, you know, you will hear the voice of your angels or whatever. It's like, hey, these are the things that have worked for me. These are some things for you to try. And just kind of go to that space where you can get quiet with yourself and you can decide, try this spell. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, think about, you know, what you want and make it your own. Like kind of, you know, I want to encourage people to, and I know so much of your work is about this too, George, where it's like, we're not here to be the guru or to just hand over like, you know, here's a book that will tell you everything you need to know. It's like, that's not really what this path is about. It's really about reconnecting with yourself and finding what you believe in, what works for you in your life. So that's what I really tried to do with the book. And then I think the intention with the Angels Among Us deck was a little bit different because that was all about, you know, connecting with the gods, the goddesses, your guides, your angels, but doing it in a way where we kind of brought the divine brought them down to earth and we made all of the angels and the gods and goddesses look like normal people. And the intention there was like, maybe you can see yourself in this deck and maybe you can see yourself as divine rather than, you know, this kind of I think it's starting to be a little bit old school now where we're relying on angels and guides to do the work for us and it's like, Archangel Michael, can you please come and fix this situation for me, which can work sometimes and there's a time and a place to do that, I think. But I also think we're kind of in this new age where it's like, okay, now we have to start to realize that it's within us and we need to take some responsibility and action and kind of make things happen in our lives. And we have our angels and our guides right beside us to help us do that. But we're the ones that have to kind of show up and make it happen.
I think you've just given me the idea for the title of this podcast, The New Age.
New Age.
Yes. It makes so much sense because we started this conversation talking about being a Christian witch. And something that I love about your work is that I always feel accepted. You have your beliefs, but you don't impose them. And the community you created on Facebook, on Instagram, it's a community where everything is accepted. Everyone is welcome, which I feel is so refreshing because even within the New Age community or the spiritual community, I feel there is still a lot of judgment and persecution coming from ourselves, from within our own community. I guess because we've spent so many lifetimes being persecuted, that's all we know. So we end up doing it to one another. So let's revisit a little bit around this persecution of New Agers. And let's define the terms first of all. What is a New Age and how would you define the new Age?
Ooh, okay. Another great question. Oh my goodness. So the new, like the term New Age kind of comes from, you know, from the research I've done. It's kind of the movement that was happening around like the 60s and 70s where a lot of people were starting to move out of kind of traditional religious communities and looking for something more. So people started getting into yoga, they started getting into the yogic teachings, they started getting more into the occult. And the New Age was kind of just a way to describe people that were, you know, looking for, seeking answers outside of what was kind of, had been the traditional kind of way to do it for so long. So that was kind of the beginning of the New Age movement. And then, of course, like, you know, as we moved into like the 80s, we also started getting, you know, people like Louise Hay with all of her like affirmations, you know, all these new thought leaders, all of these, you know, it was a whole bunch of amazing things happening in the 80s. People were getting pretty woo-woo. We had, you know, people connecting with ascended masters and sharing all of that, like the kind of ascension teachings. And it all just kind of went into this pot of like, that's the New Age, you know, crystals, angels, yoga, you know, like whatever. It's like if people are into a little bit of all of that stuff, they're like the new ages. So that's kind of, you know, in a nutshell. And some people yes. might be like, I'm a New Ager and I don't do those things. And that's, you know, okay, that's probably a conversation for another time. Call yourself whatever you want. But the reason that I kind of always liked this term was because I felt like it was this way to describe yourself where you're like, well, I'm not just one thing. I'm interested in lots of different spiritual paths. And I believe that there's something in all of them that I can resonate with. And, you know, it's a little bit like a spiritual buffet where you're like, I'm going to do some yoga and I'm going to call on my angels and I'm going to play with crystals. And that's why I've always been drawn to it, because it kind of, you know, it started off as this like, let's do something different. Let's be open to the idea that there's answers everywhere and we can kind of explore the ones that we feel called to in each moment.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And how would you define the new age? Is that kind of the evolution of things and how it's all evolved from like the 60s to the 80s to now, etc.?
That's a really good question, because I think, you know, I think right now there's like an interesting kind of thing going on where people don't want to be a part of the new age or call it new age, because it's, you know, can be associated with some things that people don't resonate with. And you've got, at the moment, there's like been a really big kind of movement towards witchcraft, and people are using the word witch like so much more than they were a few years ago even. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason that I resonated as being New Age in the first place, because the word witch made me feel a little uncomfortable for quite a long time. Well, I went through phases with it. When I was in high school, I was like, yeah, I'm a witch. And then I got a bit older and I was like, oh, I don't know about that. And now I'm back and I'm like, yeah, I'm a witch, I'm a light worker, I'm all these things. Like, give me all the labels, I'll take them all. But, you know, other people don't want any labels.
Yes.
That's totally fine as well. But yeah, I think there's like a little bit of a division at the moment, I think, in the community, where there are people who are quite drawn to the witchy aesthetic, and they want the, you know, the dark witch aesthetic of Instagram. They want the kind of Halloween vibes.
Yes.
And that sort of witchy thing, which, like, I think that's great, but it's not really me. I think it looks great on other people, but it's like, that's not how, you know, like, my altar is like, it's Jesus and it's fairy lights and it's like all these things. And I think that's fine. I think everyone should just do whatever they want. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, I know, you know, so many times I've been in conversations online where, you know, I've been called out for being a light worker, or calling myself a good witch, or saying I'm in the New Age or whatever. And people, you know, have kind of made judgments about me and who I am and what my beliefs are just because of these terms that I use. There's a little bit of a like shadow work versus light work debate, which I'm sure you've seen online. And I think that's really interesting, but there can be a lot of judgment from people who really kind of identify with the dark witch and the dark goddess, and they see someone with, you know, unicorns and fairy lights, and they kind of think, oh, you're not doing the work, but actually we're all doing the work, we're just doing it in our own way.
Why do you think there is so much judgment within the New Age community, and I also include the spiritual community?
I think it's really interesting, because like so many of us get out of we've done religion,
yes,
or we've been in places where we felt really judged, and then we were like, oh, I'm going to go and, you know, find a community where I don't feel judged. But it's like, it's deeply ingrained within us, I think, to like always be wary of somebody who's different to you, right? Like, it's always kind of, we want to kind of, I don't know, it's like we want to open our hearts and we want to be with everybody, but when we see somebody that's a little bit different, we're like, oh, not sure about that person. But I think there's also just this thing that I think we carry with us that's like, oh, but my way is still right, you know, like we leave these communities where we've been told this is the right way to do it, and then we go and find our own way, and then we start to think, well, this way has really worked for me, so this must be the right way. Well, really, it's just the right way for you.
For you.
And I think we're also in a really weird place right now where it's like nobody's allowed to change their minds. It's like, you know, if I identify as a New Ager today, I can't come out tomorrow and call myself a shadow worker, because, you know, oh, but, you know, you can't change your mind. You've got to pick one thing and stick with it. But it's really, yeah, it's really, really interesting times. But I also think that, you know, like you mentioned before, I think that the witch wound is alive and well in all of our communities, unfortunately. And, you know, we're all kind of, we still relive that at times when we're pointing the finger at each other. And, you know, I've seen some of the things I've seen people say about me online feels very much like, she's a witch, or she's not a good enough witch, or she's not a witch and she's calling herself a witch, like, you know.
So much. I think people get so tripped up on religion, on spirituality. And it's a question I keep asking myself, why can't people just accept that there are different paths to source for every single person? Mm-hmm. And those paths can change, and many paths can be correct. And there's not right or wrong way. I think we've both have had experiences of people calling us out on YouTube, especially I get a lot of Christian, dogmatic Christians coming on to me and they're like, you're channeling demons. And I'm like, first of all, the word demon is a cultural appropriation of the ancient Greek demon, which were beings of the light that were just then changed by Christianity to just make them look into something evil. So there's a lot of conflict going on. And I want to talk a little bit about this conflict and between different traditions. Why do you think there is so much conflict around dogmas rather than accepting the blending of religions, the blending of spiritual traditions? Like, for example, you combining Christianity with witchcraft and calling yourself a Christian witch. I don't know if you still identify with this term, but I mean, just like creating our own hybrid kind of spirituality. Why do we like being in groups, in dogmatic groups?
I wish I knew the answer to that. But I think it's, like part of what's happening at the moment is we have more access to information than we've ever had before. So even just, you know, when I was kind of first getting into all of this stuff back in the 90s, and that was like kind of a long time ago, but not that long ago, things were really different. Like the people who you knew in your, you know, in your circles were either Christian and they went to church, or they were just kind of nothing, or they were a little bit woo-woo. And that was kind of, it. And, you know, I remember going to the witchy shops and I'd, you know, I had a few friends who were kind of into witchcraft and we would share books and we would, you know, sit and we had like a coven and all this stuff that we were kind of getting into, but nobody really knew that we were even doing it. Like we were just kind of hanging out at the witchy shop on the weekends and doing some spells together. Whereas now, like everybody knows everybody's business for a start.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't go home and say, hey, mom and dad, like I was doing witchcraft today. Like, let's talk about how everyone feels about that. You know, we were just kind of getting on with the thing that we wanted to do. And equally, you know, my friends who went to church, they went to church with their family on the weekend and, you know, they didn't even really talk about it. We had other things that we talked about, but it was like, those were the options. You know, if you were looking for a religion or a spiritual path, it was like Christianity or the witchy shop. And now it's like you can go online and you can find like so many different paths and different teachings, and it's so exciting to me. Like I found so many things, you know, in these last few years that have just like, wow, this is really cool. And you know, I've gone on my whole journey with Kundalini yoga as well, which is something I never would have found if it hadn't been for all the information available on the internet. So we've got this thing where it's like everyone's finding these new paths, but we're still, I think, kind of in that mindset of like, oh, but you can only pick one of these things, you know. Like it's a really interesting time, and I think that we just kind of haven't caught up yet. Like we're kind of like everyone's finding new exciting things, but we haven't like emotionally evolved enough yet to be like, oh, that's cool. Like you do.
It sounds like we're like collectively going through a journey of like evolution and trying to figure out like, how do we deal with this information and how do we find acceptance and how do we give ourselves permission to change and accept the fact that we're changing? I mean, I know you went through like changes in what you believed in as well, and I certainly did as well. I started being Christian and then I became a New Ager, and now I transitioned fully to paganism, Greek paganism. So we all have our journey of evolution, and I find it very interesting that whenever I go through something like that, people are like, oh, they see it as something like negative, like, oh, when are you gonna stop like searching like and finding yourself?
And I'm never.
And I'm like, well, just because you just accepted what your parents taught you was right doesn't mean that it's actually right. I mean, it may be right for you, but it's a journey that we all go through, and I'm just following my journey rather than just accepting things as they are and not challenging the status quo. Speaking about that, let's talk a little bit about cultural appropriation, because I feel New Agers get a lot of bad rep around that. Where do you stand on cultural appropriation, and is there a gray area there?
Ooh, okay. As soon as you said that, there's like this little part of me that's like, no, let's not have this conversation. Like, let's not talk about this because, you know, whatever.
Can I share what I feel about it?
Yes,
can I share what I feel about?
I would love to hear that.
What I feel about, because I am part of the Greek pagan tradition of honoring the Greek gods and goddesses according to the ancient Greeks, who were evolving and growing that tradition. At the same time, I still use turkey feathers to clear my energy, which is Native American. And I still use singing bowls, like Tibetan singing bowls, which are part of a different tradition. Which, like, in a textbook way, it would be like, oh, you're culturally appropriating a culture. My perspective is, because there is so much information, because everything is so available, there will be instances where we borrow and we use tools and practices from other cultures. New Age is all about that. It's all about blending different traditions. But the key distinction behind doing that and being respectful is knowing the history, knowing where it came from, and acknowledging that publicly as well as privately in your own connection time. For example, I'm using, let's say, for example, turkey feathers. I've done my research. I've Googled the history. I've read, I've educated myself as to, okay, what is the culture who used that? Or what is the culture that used Tibetan singing bowls? And how did they use them in the aim to, like, respect the tradition and acknowledge that, while at the same time using it in my own practice? So I think educating ourselves and respecting and acknowledging that, you know what, this is something that I'm borrowing for this purpose, and I acknowledge the history, and I'm not trying to change the original purpose of this. I'm just borrowing it for my own purpose. I think that personally, for me, it makes me feel okay with doing something like that. How have you negotiated this within you?
Yeah, it's such a great... like, it is a conversation that we do need to be having. And I think at times, well, I think it's a constant evolution and learning process.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how I feel about it right now may not be how I feel about it in a few years' time, you know, once you have more information and you've talked to more people and had more conversations. But, you know, one thing I think that we forget in the conversation about cultural appropriation is that not all people from one culture have the same beliefs and opinions about things. And so if one person from a culture says, you know, this has happened, I've had a lot of conversations around this with Kundalini yoga, and you'll get somebody saying, you shouldn't do it because it's not your, you know, it's not your culture. You may even get someone from that culture saying, this isn't for you. And then you'll get someone else from that culture saying, come to my class, I want to teach you. So it's very difficult to say, well, you know, then we shouldn't do it because one person from that culture or a group of people from that culture don't want you to have access to that information. So you have people from a particular culture who are actually creating businesses, and they want to teach people, you know, they want to teach the Western people the teachings that they know, because they know it's going to help, and they want to share that, and they want to be open about it and say, you know, this works really well. Like, we want you to have access to this. And then, of course, there's other people that say we don't like that. One thing I found really fascinating was, you know, I was following all of the conversations around using white sage in your practices, and a lot of people were saying, you know, don't use white sage because it's a Native American practice, and if you're not a Native American, you just shouldn't do it. And, you know, that was a massive conversation everyone was having a couple of years ago, and I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be using sage. So I stopped kind of buying it or using it. And then I went to the US and I walked into a shop that was run by Native American people, and they were selling sage, and they were like, hey, do you want to buy some sage? And I was like, I just found it really like, oh, okay, you know, like there's more than one side to this conversation. Like,
yes,
there are people who don't want you to have access to that. There are people who are concerned about cultural appropriation, all of the issues around that. And then you have another group of people who are growing it and selling it to make money, and so they can live, and so they can put food on the table in their communities. And I don't think it's just a like a yes or no kind of situation. But like you said, I think it's all about understanding as much as you can and speaking to people, and not just speaking to one person and saying, well, you know, I spoke to one Sikh person who didn't like that people from the West were doing Kundalini yoga, so it must be wrong. It's like having conversations with lots of different people in lots of different communities, and then, you know, trying to understand the issues. Well, why wouldn't people want us to do this? And is there a way I can do it that, you know, respects the history? It's like with Kundalini yoga, I was getting really into it and I wanted to understand it better. So I did my teacher training and I didn't really know if I was going to be a teacher. I just wanted to understand what I was doing, and I wanted the information about the history and where does it come from and why does it work and how can I, you know, honor the teachings in the best possible way. So I spent a lot of money and I spent a lot of time and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, it was like going back to uni and doing this massive course. And I think sometimes, and then, you know, someone will come onto Instagram and say, how dare you culturally appropriate this? And it's like, do you know what I've been doing? Like, do you know how many books I've read and how many people I've spoken to and how many classes I've done from people of all different backgrounds, worked with teachers from, you know, all sorts of places. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is like understanding that it's not a black and white issue, and that we need to start thinking about cultural appropriation as, you know, bigger than, oh, well, somebody on the internet told me not to do this, so I shouldn't do it. But, you know, maybe for some people in that culture, they want you to do it. So, yeah.
Yes, it's about researching, evolving, understanding that we don't know all the answers right now, but yeah. I'm just going to keep on asking questions, keep educating myself, having respect in the back of my mind, in the front of my mind, to ensure that I'm doing this the right way and keep on having the conversations. I think that's where it's at when it comes to like cultural appropriation, because you can never have a definite answer. It's again, it's a journey that has to be had. We can have some certain pillars of guiding ourselves, such as, okay, have respect, do your research, educate yourself, like what you've done as well. I think that's very important. Now, let's change gears a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about something that we both love as well, which is divination. And it's something that I'm going to share my own experience with it. I love oracle cards and tarot cards, and I still use them, and I have massive like selection of them. And I get like limited edition decks and all of that. What I found in my journey of doing readings is that eventually I stopped needing them to give readings, because I found myself drawing the cards, not even looking at them, and giving people readings. So eventually it all evolved for me into not needing the cards at all. And now I give readings just like that, which led me to creating Intuition Mastery School, my signature program, which is all about dropping the need for divination cards and oracle cards and tarot cards. So you can give readings like that, you can still use them. And I started getting, in the beginning, like people sort of attacking me or arguing with me, like, oh, what about these, like these cards? And like, are we disrespecting like the people who teach cards? I'm like, no, you can use the cards. I still use the cards because they're fun. It's just a matter of giving yourself permission to evolve beyond the cards so that you don't depend and rely on the cards. You can still use them because you want to, but you're not relying on them. So let's talk a little bit about oracle tools and divination tools in general and their value, their significance. Why do you think people love them? Why do you love them? And how have you negotiated this balance between relying on them with liking them and using them and wanting them?
Oh, I love this question. Oh my gosh. Oh, your questions are amazing. I wish you'd emailed me them beforehand and I would have had like some really great answers. This is a good one. Cause you know, I've seen people online, I did psychic hotlines for a little while. I worked at the psychic hotline, which is a very interesting experience. Anyway, that's a conversation for another time. But there used to be this thing that people would do in their bio, like some of the different psychics, and a lot of them would say, like, I don't use cards, no tools needed. And it was like this thing of, oh, well, I'm a better psychic than anybody else here because I don't need the cards or I don't rely on the cards. And I always found that to be a little bit like, okay, so you think you're better than us because you're not using the cards, George. but I know that that's not how you see it.
Yeah.
But I think in the community, there's definitely a feeling of,
yes,
you know, who's better than who. And you also get in the tarot community, a lot of people look down on oracle cards. So you get all these tarot readers that are like, ugh, oracle cards are for babies. And, you know, tarot is the way to go.
The real thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I think it's really interesting because, you know, when I started using cards, I didn't have the same kind of connection that I have now. So the cards were something that could help me to tune in to my intuition, my guides, angels, you know, whatever it is that you feel like you're tuning into. And that really helped me to actually develop my ability to not have to use the cards all the time, because I know it can get a little bit like, oh, I got to pull a card. I've got, you know, anything goes wrong in your life, you got to sit down and do a reading. And I think it's often, you know, I think it's even less for people sitting doing their own cards and more like, you know, I used to get messages from the same person all the time, like, are you available for a reading? Can I meet you for a reading? It's like, maybe you should like just take a pause. Like, if you still have this question in 2 weeks, we can have a session, but just, you know, take some time out, try to kind of
tune into your own intuition.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I think like, I always think of the cards, whether it's tarot or oracle, I think of them as kind of like a phone line, like a way to get in. You know, if you want to talk to your guides or angels or intuition and you have a phone number to call them, that can be really helpful. And so I always think about the cards as like, you know, I'm picking up the deck and I'm setting the intention. Okay, I'm giving you a call and hopefully you're there and let's have a chat, you know, and you're pulling the cards and it's like you're having a conversation with whoever, whatever it is that you're having that conversation with. And the more that you do that, the more you realize that, you know, there's different ways in. There's not just the landline that is your oracle deck. There's the Wi-Fi that is your crystals, or there's the email, which is, you know, meditation, or, you know, there's all these different ways that you can get in. But, you know, for me, like, cards have kind of become so much more than just like, you know, I've got a question and I need an answer. Now they're kind of, you know, I have a real kind of devotional practice with my oracle cards. I've got like a bunch of decks sitting at my altar, and in the morning I sit down and I do my meditation. I check in with myself. I do some yoga and all these other things. And then I pull a card, and it's more of like a ritual devotional practice to just kind of honor the connection I have with my guides and angels, rather than like a desperate need for them to tell me something, you know.
Yes.
It's like, let's sit down and connect. And this is just like, you know, a ritual that you can do that can help you do that. Do you have to use cards? No. Does everybody have to use cards? No, absolutely not. I find something really interesting that happens with me now is when I sit and do a tarot reading for someone, I kind of already know what cards are going to come up. It's like, I know that, you see it in your mind, like, I'm seeing the Tower and the Death card and like something else. And, you know, like one of them will come out, or it'll be cards that'll be really similar. It's like you're already picking up on what it's going to be. But one thing I love personally, and I think part of this is just about, you know, how does your brain work and how does your intuition work and how does your connection work? Because obviously I'm big into storytelling with my fiction work. So I often see doing a big reading, especially like a tarot reading with a few oracle cards, I see this as like telling a story, and you're looking into the story of what's happening right now or what might happen if you're into reading predictions, what has happened, you know, what what do I need to be looking at in the story right now? It's kind of like taking a little pause in the, you know, the story of your life and actually reading the page and being like, oh, okay, so this is going on and this is happening. So I really like that. And when I work with clients, it's a really beautiful way to kind of, you know, tell the story of what's going on here. You know, okay, well, I can see this person and I can see this is going on, and, you know, have that conversation. I like it with clients because I feel like it gives you a buffer as well between you and them. And it's like, you know, sometimes you'll pull the tower card and they'll be like, oh my goodness, like, what is this? And then you can sit and you can have a chat and you can say, well, how does this make you feel? For me, it's almost like a lot of psychologists use the tarot because of all the archetypes that, yes, are in there, all the symbolism that's in there. And I really like that. Like, for me, that's, it's really fascinating and fun. And I love like sitting there with someone and being like, well, what do you see in the tower? And then all this stuff comes out, you know, like, well, it's scary. And it reminds me of this thing that happened when I was 5 years old. And it's like all of this, you know, all of this.
And that's
stuff.
Part of the reading as well. And then you can do healing work. You can go deeper. And what I love about like using cards is the structure they give you with the different spreads. I know you're the queen of spreads. Like, sometimes when I want something need specific guidance on something, I will go onto your profile on Instagram and scroll down. Let's see what kind of spread Vix has about this. And then I find something. And they're very helpful because they direct the energy. So thank you so much for sharing this and expanding our perspective on tarot cards and oracle cards. Oh my goodness. I feel like we can keep on chatting for hours, and I'll definitely have you back for like part three of this conversation to talk about the new age.
I would love that. In like another 100 episodes, we can catch up again and see where we're at.
That's going to be so much fun. Vix, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast again. It's always a pleasure having you here and chatting with you. Can you please let everyone know where they can get all of your products, how they can work with you?
So the best way to find everything is just to go to my website, which is newagehipster.co, or you can just go to Google and type in New Age Hipster and you'll find me there. And on my website, you'll find all of the courses and all the downloads that you can get there for all of the courses and content that I've created over the years. Lots of meditations, workbooks on just about any topic that you want, manifesting, protection, just everything. Of course, the deck Angels Among Us Oracle is out. You can probably get that wherever you buy your Oracle decks, whether it's through Amazon. You know, if you have a witchy shop that you purchase from, ask them to get it in for you. And the book Witch Please is also available online in witchy shops. It's also available in Watkins, I believe, and Waterstones in the UK.
Yes.
And the fiction books, if you're interested in some witchy woo-woo fiction stories that are very high vibe, time traveling, lots of fun, they're available pretty much everywhere online as well, but Amazon is probably where you get the best deal for those.
And of course, all the links will be available in the show notes below. Vix, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you. This is so fun.
Thank you for listening to the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. Before you go, make sure to grab your free workbook to find your life purpose at georgelizos.com/life purpose.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.